Okay, we're in the middle of the deadline. We're on page 56 of our print. What? Of Vitzarech, right. Okay, we, Sofa learned his shita, that the end of China is the dateline, the 6 hours from Eretz Yisrael. There are a couple of things that are left hanging. He said two things. He said that Eretz Yisrael itself is the beginning of Shabbos, and then subsequent days begin at Shabbos, which would seem to mean that the dateline should begin there. But he said no. He also had two points. It's the point where Shabbos began, which is Eretz Yisrael, which he holds Sinai is Eretz Yisrael, and etc. The second point is that the dateline is the coast of China. Now, what people struggle with is, I'm sorry, why he has two points, why it's important to have two points. One point, they tell me the dateline is China, why do you got to give me a whole speech about Eretz Yisrael? And today, hopefully, we're going to understand the idea. I'd like to read to you from an excellent English translation of the Kuzari, maybe the first excellent one. There have been numerous, some in Hebrew. He's not literal, and for that reason, he takes some liberties in explaining things, following one opinion or another, but overall it's good. He has the back of the appendix on this part. Yeah, it's the one you have, right? So in the back, he has an appendix on the dateline, which you'll find easy reading. There on page 621, in number 9, he makes the point, He says, I'm quoting, according to the Otzer Nechmad commentary, that's one of the Pirushim on the bottom, the rabbi, which is the Chavar speaking here, takes this one step further, having two points instead of one. One to determine the starting point for the first time zone, and the other for determining the international dateline. As he said, Eretz Yisrael is where the day began. Shabbos began, so Sunday, and Monday, and Tuesday, every day began Eretz Yisrael. So if that's where it began, that should be the dateline. He says, no, there's another point, which is the dateline. Why have two points? It's necessary for the international dateline to make any sense. Now, I mean, we're going to learn what we learned today in connection with what he says, and I'd like to read it from here. It is illogical for an international dateline to be placed indiscriminately somewhere in the middle of the globe, where it will still be east of some places and west of other places. Any place you pick is east. The North Pole is north of everything. The South Pole is south of everything. Nothing is east or west of everything. So, well, the international dateline of today's secular world was chosen just as a convenience. They picked the most convenient spot for the dateline to be. So it was a convenience. But when you're talking about something that should be absolutely true in a spiritual way, there's got to be some better explanation of it. There has to be some point which is absolute east, and another point at some distance which is absolute west. The point which is absolute east, Eretz Yisrael, is the starting point for the progression of dayline and days, and the delineation for the first time zone. The point which is absolute west, China, is the westernmost point in the sun's path, making it the international dayline. Now this needs an explanation, because why do you need Eretz Yisrael? It doesn't seem to have explained it. He says there are some difficulties with the Otzer Nechmad's explanation. He goes through it. He brings that the Chazon Ish explained the Kuzari differently. He viewed the rabbi as merely addressing a historical issue. Where was the first Shabbos halachically existent? While it's true that the astronomical day begins in China, before it begins in Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael nevertheless has the distinction that the very first halachic Shabbos was observed in Eretz Yisrael. That is, had a Jew been born in China during the very first Shabbos in Eretz Yisrael, he would not have experienced the sanctity of Shabbos. Nor if he had the mitzvah of serving Shabbos. The reality of Shabbos did not yet exist in China until the following Shabbos.
He would have just not been praying Shabbos.
Well, not really, because by the time the sunset got to him, it would have been Sunday sunset. He never experienced a Shabbos sunset on that very first Shabbos. Now, naturally, the question is why this is important. What the Chazon Ish seems to be saying is it's not important. So we're going to try to read it. I think I understand the Otzer Nechmad's explanation in a way that he doesn't explain it. So we're going to try to learn now the next couple of pages, And I'll try to explain with the Yitzhak Nechba's explanation. I'm not the person who could have my own explanation of this, but at least my own understanding of why it should be so. And the truth is that it needs an explanation, b'chlal, why the date line is a quarter of the world away from Eretz Yisrael.
What's he trying to establish by talking about the date line altogether? Is him the Kushan Nechba's already? Why is he discussing it?
Okay. So I think that's all part of what I would like to add in my understanding of the Eitz and Nechmad.
Because he's saying that everything starts from Eretz Yisrael, the dateline really doesn't carry that much weight.
The dateline carries all the halachic weight that could possibly be. It doesn't really matter. It's only the very first Shabbos that it didn't carry weight. But since then, it seems that it did, that it carried all the weight.
Why?
Okay. So, well, it carries the weight because there has to be a halachic date line. It's not logical. It's a middle of Yerushalayim. We'll have one side of the line Sunday and the other side Shabbos. So it's got to be in a less populated area. So I'd like to explain. I want to read the words first and then I'll try to explain it as I understand. What? He said earlier, either at Sinai or at Alush. Alush is the place he designates as pre-Sinai, the first Shabbos after the mum began to fall. No, halachic Shabbos meaning a Shmir Shabbos, not a seventh day of the week. Oh yes, it would have been the seventh day for Ma'aseh Bereishis. Yeah, that's right, because the mum began to fall, not in Alush, it began to fall earlier in... Where was it? In Midbar Sin. Well, it's not clear exactly what was given at Mara in the sense of an obligation to observe the Shabbos. He ignores Mara and says clearly that it begins the language at the beginning of Halachalah Shabbos Eina Kiyem Misidai Umei Alosh Kaidem Lechein. And the Yitzhak Nechmad explains, Nemar b'mikri v'yisu me'elim, v'yavoyu kach n'Yisrael midbar sin, v'yaloi m'kal das b'nei Yisrael, ne'yes p'man. Shuv achri siyim parshas haman, Nemar v'yisu kach n'Yisrael midbar sin, v'yachnu b'rfidim. Ulam, parshas elam ma'asei, Nemar v'yisu midbar sin, v'yachnu b'davka, v'yisu b'davka, v'yachnu b'alosh, v'yisu m'alosh y'nuch b'rfidim, har v'shnei lam ma'asei, z'davka v'yalosh, n'chlu b'soich midbar sin, akapodim yoramon, tarim shigil r'fidim, akem lay nisachar yoysim y'alosh. And he explains that. Okay, now.
So how come there's a discussion on that? You know, wasn't the Torah given on Shabbos?
The Torah is given on Shabbos, but the double mon portion fell earlier on a Friday. And that Friday, it became clear that a Shabbos existed. And that's what he's saying. Excuse me?
They were still not obligated.
That's a good point. I can't answer that.
The first Shabbos after Ma'aseh Bereishis was the same Shabbos after...
The Shabbos after Ma'aseh Bereishis was Saturday. Right. It wasn't Shabbos in the sense there was no Kedusha Shabbos. The Kasha of the world asks, how did Avraham Avinu keep Shabbos if he wasn't a Ben... He wasn't a Tzuvah, Nochri Sheshavos Chayev Misa. So famously, the Brisker Rav said that the Kasha doesn't begin. Because until there's a commandment of Shabbos, it doesn't matter if a guy keeps, so to speak, keeps Shabbos, because there is no Shabbos. So just like you cannot work on Monday or Tuesday, you cannot work on Shabbos.
So the first Saturday didn't really correlate with Shabbos of after Matan Torah.
It did. It correlated in sevens.
It did correlate.
Yeah, that it did.
But what happened during the Mabul?
Well, Lo Yishbaisu, there was a pause, and the question of how time passed is a hard question. But in the accounting of the years that we use, it's assumed that the 10 months did pass, or 11 months did pass, because the Torah says that it came to the next month. Now, even though the Pasuk seems to say that there was no day and night at that time, because it says afterwards, Yom HaValayla LeYishbaisu, but time passed, as we know, it's 16 minutes to an hour it passed. So the time passed. Now, let's read the words, and I'll try as best as I can to explain it. I do want to bear in mind that there is one other point which begs explanation, and that is the assumption we have that the coast of China is the dateline, despite the fact the coast of China is not perfectly straight. So we accommodate, the halacha accommodates a certain amount of inconsistency or inaccuracy in that the coast of China, and it's not a small amount of difference. 30 degrees is a lot. That's 30 degrees every 15 degrees is an hour. So the question is how that works, and so let's learn what he says, and I'll explain to you as I understand. You know, I don't claim to be an expert on it, but like everything else, if nobody knows anything about something, you know a little bit, so you're smart. So nobody, not too many people study the Kuzari, so at least I spend some time on it. Let's see. B'tzara she'tiyena ha'shmeina esrei shois ikur b'kriyas either hayoyim ha'shvi or yimei ha'shavua. There are two readings here. It says this 18-hour cheshbin has to be an ikur. It's something important in the counting of the seventh day or the 7 days. So it's hard to say like the Chazon Ish that it's just historical. It says, Nesha Eretz Yisrael, she makam haskola, lekriyas shemai sayamim. Eretz Yisrael, which is the beginning point of naming days, there should be a comma there, beina u beina shemesh, be'es shetchilas hakriya, b'shem sheishois, in the beginning of tchilas hakriya, of calling, giving a name to days, b'shem sheishois, which is really 6 hours off. When the sun sets in Eretz Yisrael, it's 6 hours to the west, right? When the sun sets here, it's 6 hours to the west. Ve'inenu zaz lahasmid sham ha'shabes al adimyan. Al hayoyim asher eschila ha'shemesh losavev m'seif ha'mariv. And it doesn't change what? You have lahasmid shem ha'shabes, okay. Al adimyan, for example, al hayoyim asher eschila ha'shemesh losavev m'seif. What it means is this. The Shabbos begins with sunset. So let's say you're in Yerushalayim, and you're looking out to the west, and you see the sunset. So you're standing here, this is not Yerushalayim, but you're standing out in front of a shul in Yerushalayim, and you watch the sunset in the west. As soon as the sun disappears, bang, it's Shabbos by you. The next moment, a few, half a mile over, they're watching the sunset, Shabbos by them. Half a mile later, they're watching it set, Shabbos by them. So Shabbos, let's picture Eretz Yisrael on top of a globe. So I'm standing here in Eretz Yisrael. The sun is setting 6 hours away. It's bringing in Shabbos where I am. So if you were to look at darkness setting in slowly over a globe, wherever darkness comes, it begins Shabbos. That's his lashon. That ein oizaz lahasmid shem haShabbos. If the sun setting doesn't stop bringing in the day of Shabbos, al adimyan. For example, as the sun goes, it brings in Shabbos, it could be Sunday or Monday, every day as it rotates. Now if you watch the sunset, 18 hours later, it's over your head. It's noon. So Adam watched the sunset. Now for 18 hours later, the sun was directly overhead. For those 18 hours, the sun was bringing Shabbos every minute into a different point of the globe. So that as Adam Arishan is watching, the sun is setting to the west of Eretz Yisrael, which means it's setting over Britain and the Atlantic Ocean. Slowly, it came to New York, and it went to Los Angeles, and it brought in Shabbos everywhere. So the sun is setting for 18 hours till it comes, it's noon. Till it's noon. Now it's exactly noon, the sun hits China, the coast of China, roughly the coast of China. And at that moment, it stops bringing in Shabbos. And then the sun is setting in the beginning of China. Right off the coast of China, it's still bringing in Shabbos. You have Gidrei HaKriya. And that's the end of the heralding in of a day that was called Shabbos. As soon as it hits the landfall of China, it begins Sunday. What happens afterwards is called East. What does that mean, it's called East? So I'd like to explain what he means.
So you don't have Shabbos between that borderline and then going back to Eretz Yisrael.
Right, the first Shabbos, there was no Shabbos from China. It brought in Sunday, right. Shabbos happened 7 days later. Now, the way I'd like to explain it is like this. Now, as I said, there's no east and there's no west. There's no absolute, it's not like north and south. There's no absolute east, no absolute west. Now, let's say I'm here in Brooklyn. So I would say Los Angeles is 3 hours west. Right? We all know that. Los Angeles is west, the Wild West, is west of New York. Everybody in America calls it the west. If I were to talk about Europe, I would say it's to the east. Eretz Yisrael is east of here. Now, technically, Los Angeles is east as well. It's just, instead of 3 hours west, it's 21 hours east. And technically, Eretz Yisrael, instead of 7 hours east, is 17 hours west. But, well, it's just natural to talk about it in reference to your place. Now, it would be normal for anybody in the United States to talk about everything till California is west. And certainly Europe as east. And how far? Well, Europe and Asia is one landmass. So we're talking about Europe as east. We're certainly talking about Turkey, about Russia as east of here. People coming from Russia talk about it as east. Now, eventually, you get to the end of Russia, the end of China, and you get to the Pacific Ocean. And that's confusing. Do you talk about the Philippine Islands as east of here or west of here? I don't know. I never talk about the Philippine Islands, so I don't know. But it's natural to call something east or west based on where you are, on the normal Lashon HaDeyah, the normal language of a person. So if I say, I'm here, the day begins at the furthest, the day begins at the furthest eastern point of where I am, and ends at the furthest western point. The sun comes over the east, goes to the west. So I would say, if the only place in the world was Brooklyn, which many people believe, and I would say, well, the day begins at the furthest point east and ends at the furthest point west. Now, technically, there's no such thing. But certainly in the normal Lashon B'nei Adam, the normal perception of people, there is a furthest point east and a furthest point west. So the Kuzari comes along. He says there's a dateline. Why is he talking about the dateline? You have to remember the context. He was talking, the king told him, tell me nice things about Eretz Yisrael. Tell me things about the Mila of Eretz Yisrael. So he says this. He says, Shabbos began in Eretz Yisrael. Sunday and Monday, every day begins in Eretz Yisrael. Everything starts in Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, when you want to figure out a dateline, you take the perception of someone in Eretz Yisrael. Someone in Eretz Yisrael perceives everything, the whole landmass that's to his east, as being to his east. And that will go to the coast. To the coast of that landmass.
How is that different
from Hussein Rappas saying all the tefillahs from the neighbor go to Yerushalayim? There's no bearing on that. Where the dateline is, there's no bearing. All our tefillahs do go to Yerushalayim. Whether they go east or west, I don't know, but, you know, they, I assume they take the great circle route and make it there, but, it's, the point is, Eretz Yisrael is the center of everything. Now, being the center of everything, some understood that means that the dateline is 18 hours away, fall where it may. You know, even though 18 hours away may be an inconvenient place, it doesn't matter. The Kuzari is saying, no, it goes by the perception of a human being standing in Eretz Yisrael. Someone standing in Eretz Yisrael would call China east of him, and would call Britain or Spain west of him. And therefore, the dateline is established by the perception of one in Eretz Yisrael. There are two points. There's the point where perception matters, and that's Eretz Yisrael, where everything begins. He mentioned that Adam was created there. He didn't mention just poetically, but that's how things are calculated. So everything is calculated from Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, we have two points. The point, which is the center, which is Eretz Yisrael, and the dateline, which has to do with the perception of Eretz Yisrael. Now he makes the point in the next line, "Ve'ein lihi maleit mimokim mishtateif." It's impossible to escape the necessity of having a place mishtateif, which is the joint, the meeting place, tchilas mizrachai achrisei mariv, where east ends and west begins. You have to come up with a place that ends the east and begins the west. V'ulei Yisrael tchilas hayishuv, and relative to Eretz Yisrael is the beginning of where people live. Ein ze b'din ha-Torah levad, avol b'din ha-teva gamkein. Now there are people, ignorant people, say an international dateline is a goyish azach. No such thing as an international dateline. We say, you're ignorant. You don't know there has to be a dateline. He's saying, the dateline is not only a halachic thing. Right? So he's talking to people who say the reverse, that the dateline is a halachic concept. He says, it's not only ein ze b'din Torah levad, it's not just a halachic concept. Avol b'din ha-teva gamkein, it's something that has to exist. Ki lo yitachin shiyu hayomim ha-shvuyim nikra b'shem echad ba'atzmai li'yishav kulay. You can't have the whole world have Sunday and switch to Monday at the same second. It's impossible. Elam nikva mokim shiyatchila l'kriya. There has to be a place where it begins. U'mokim l'skriya miskarev shaliyak tzasei mizruch l'ktzasei. You have to have a point which is extreme east and extreme west. It's not physically defined. So it's defined by perception of Eretz Yisrael. That's the way I understand the Yotze Nechmad. And it's a geshmak upshad. I think it fits well. If somebody were just to learn the dateline and learn the Maimar Hasheni and this part, you ain't a chap. But the discussion is in the context of the centrality of Eretz Yisrael. And as such, the explanation I gave is true. And it also allows for the coast, for it to go to the end of the coast, not indiscriminately. Not just, well, we can't do anything, we have to go till the coast, no matter how many degrees over. No, it's the whole point. The point is that whatever is considered east by the perception of someone in Eretz Yisrael is east. It's not the number 6 which is important, or 18. It works out to 618, but it's not precise. It includes the... wherever the land may ascend.
So if you had someone in the old days who was very nationalistic, they were Egyptian, and they considered Egypt to be the center of the earth, this whole formulation would apply in the same type of way. That's the Teva. If you held...
I can't talk to you about other religions, but somebody who just is a Yankee fan or a Red Sox fan or a Cubs fan, God forbid. You can't say, well, since I live in Chicago, I love Chicago, Chicago is the center of the universe.
You're missing my point. He's saying that in addition to a halachic perspective, there's also from the Teva, a natural. So the Teva, if you're in Egypt and you hold that Egypt is the center, everything...
Well, it depends what it means you hold. If it's not a religious holding, it's just the happenstance, I happen to live in Egypt, so I hold Egypt, so that's a meaningless thing. We can't say Eretz Yisrael just because we're Jews and we hold Eretz Yisrael, that's why. We believe Eretz Yisrael is the beginning of creation and it's the central point of the world. And we believe that on a spiritual level, so we say it. Now, if there was someone in Egypt who believed that on a spiritual level, then man, that could be the same thing.
Why can't everyone have Shabbos at the exact same time and just start it at
that would necessitate having a different beginning of day and end of day at every point on the globe. In other words, it would be simultaneous, but relative to the sun, it would be different. Now, we understand that the Pasuk says, "May erev ad erev tishbisu shabbatchem." From evening to evening, keep your Shabbos or your kippur. May erev ad erev. It could mean Eretz Yisrael, but we understand it to mean Tishbos Shabbatim, wherever you are. Even in Eretz Yisrael, wouldn't be Erev at Erev. Because even from Yerushalayim to the coast, there would be, I don't know if it would be 5 minutes or 10 minutes, there would be a 10 minute difference. It wouldn't be observable by sunlight. Now, by sunset. Yeah, it's theoretically possible, but it's not even practical. Yeah, in a world that doesn't have communication like we have today, it would be almost impossible to calculate every place in the world what the moment of Shabbos is in Eretz Yisrael. Everything's possible. But we understand the Torah says, Erev at Erev, that's exactly what it means.
So what's the validity of someone lost in a desert, count 7 days, and make Shabbos?
It's an accommodation. It's really not a Din Torah. Minat Torah, someone lost in the desert, loses track, has to keep every day Shabbos. He keeps all days for Daraisa's Shabbos. Now, Chazal said, count 7 days and keep 1 day of Shabbos just to observe a Shabbos. For the Isurim, unless it's Pikach Nefashis, he has to stay away from Malacha Daraisa. But counting the 7 days is not really not a Din Torah. it's an accommodation to accommodate somebody who doesn't know when it's Shabbos. He shouldn't go. It shouldn't be Maman of Shach. You didn't keep Shabbos. Okay, we meet again a week from Thursday. Mitzvah Hashem. Baruch Hashem Simchas.